Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. World leaders are wrapping up what is considered to be the most important annual meeting surrounding climate change. COP16, which focuses on preserving biodiversity, was held in Colombia, and COP29 is wrapping up this week in Azerbaijan with the goal to limit global warming. Nearly 200 countries, including the EU, have been taking part in this UN-led conference for years as part of the Paris Agreement, which is an international treaty on climate change. But the U.S. does play an outsized role, and this year comes with some uncertainty of an incoming Trump administration. President-elect Trump is a known climate skeptic and actually pulled out of the Paris Agreement when he was president. But also, President Biden was notably absent from the annual climate change conference for the second year in a row, which can undermine the impact that these meetings can have on global climate goals. But the Golden State is pressing forward. California Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot has just returned from both COP16 and COP29 and explains the state's role in global climate action. Secretary Crowfoot, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, let's start off with your agency. What does the California Natural Resources Agency actually do and oversee?
So we're charged with stewarding California's natural environment. So that's from our mountains, our coasts, our desert, our forests. We include departments like Cal Fire and state parks, the Department of Water Resources, and Fish and Wildlife. So we're really charged with stewarding this incredible place we know of as California.
So COP stands for the Conference of Parties. Doesn't really tell you a lot to, I think, a layperson like myself with the name or the acronym. What are these summits supposed to accomplish?
It's a great question. So the United Nations was formed in 1945 in the wake of World War II, all about trying to avert global conflict. Well, fast forward 80 years, the United Nations is a really important venue for tackling environmental crises that are global in nature, including climate change. So the sort of the crux of these annual summits is essentially negotiations among the nations. Most every nation in the world has signed on to a treaty, for example, to address climate change, to confront climate change. And so a big focus is updating those agreements. However, about 100,000 people came to the most recent Conference of Parties, this UN summit in Azerbaijan, focused on how do we move further and faster to confront climate change. And in that discussion, California plays a really important role.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, because we're talking about countries and parties, you know, including the European Union, California, biggest state in the country, one of the largest economies in the world, not a country or a party that's included in this international summit. So how do you negotiate, or what kind of power or weight do you have at these conferences?
Well, we're an important proof point to really groups and leaders from around the world. A large economy, as you say, the fifth largest economy in the world measured by our GDP, and a state that's actually driving environmental protection and leading the world in many respects on taking climate action. So we come to these discussions and demonstrate just what we're doing in California and how we're achieving our goals, reducing pollution, building clean energy, and actually creating these new energy jobs.
What does it say that some of the largest economies and emitters were notably absent from COP29 this year? I mentioned President Biden, but you have China, Xi Jinping, France's Emmanuel Macron, from the EU, Ursula von der Leyen, Germany's Olaf Scholz, and even India's Narendra Modi. I mean, these are huge players. What message do you think that sends?
Well, I'll say there are obviously economic headwinds across the world right now, and there's any number of topics, including global conflict, that is distracting our leaders. The good news, though, is that governments showed up in an important way. So, for example, President Biden wasn't there in person, but his chief negotiator, John Podesta, was. And John Podesta was very strong about the need for continued American leadership and actually pointed out California and other states as really important moving forward to demonstrate to the rest of the world that America will continue to lead taking action to confront climate change.
Is that still the case with the change in administration given this election and we now have President-elect Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, so the new incoming administration has not made any announcements about its intent as it relates to these climate change agreements. However, obviously, when Donald Trump was president the first time, it was very clear that there was not an interest in any semblance of leadership on climate change. So a lot of folks that I talk to at these UN summits are anticipating the change in federal leadership or the absence in federal leadership on climate change. And they're looking to states like California. And our point is there are 24 states in the United States representing about 55% of our population, 60% of our GDP, that have governors and legislators that are actually doing something about transitioning to clean energy, reducing pollution, taking action. It's called the U.S. Climate Alliance. So part of what we're doing at these U.N. summits is saying America is still in. A large portion of Americans understand that climate change is impacting us and are committed to doing something. And that's really important for the rest of the world to hear because, after all, our country has the world's largest economy.
I mean, when it comes to climate change and emissions, I mean, it knows no borders, right? So everyone plays a role, and obviously some countries play a larger role than others, and other countries shoulder the brunt of those really harmful consequences. With a different administration, with Trump's administration coming in, come next year, how does this complicate environmental and climate goals that California has moving forward?
Well, I'll say this, you know, certainly speaking on behalf of our state leaders, we're going to continue to make progress. And this is a movement that essentially can't be turned around. So take the cost of renewable energy, for example. You know, California's policies over the last three decades have really driven down the cost of technologies like solar energy. So remarkably, there's a ton of solar and wind energy being deployed in places like Texas at this point because it makes economic sense. Also, a lot of these investments that the Biden-Harris administration made through this Inflation Reduction Act, this federal investments, are actually in conservative red states. So from my perspective, while there may be a change in tone and certainly the way that the new president, you know, vocalizes on climate change, the fact is that a lot of this movement underway will continue. And California is going to continue to lead. We have a lot of strength, of scale of our economy, and a lot of independence in terms of the ability to pass laws. And we're going to continue to do that.
Mm. We talked a lot about COP29. I think that is more known than COP16, which is biodiversity. You also went to that meeting as well, which was in Colombia. Tell us about it. For someone who's just learning about it for the first time, why do you need a biodiversity summit in addition to a climate change summit?
It's a really good question. You know, these are separate treaties within the UN process, and a lot of people are making a really effective point that there's a lot of overlap. But this effort or this discussion in Colombia was all about how do we protect and restore nature. The fact is, we live on a remarkable planet that supports, our species really well, but we're pushing up to these planetary boundaries. And one of those planetary boundaries is our natural systems. So biodiversity refers to this richness of life, of animals, of plants, of life. And California is actually a very biodiverse state, one of 36 biodiversity hotspots in the world. But this biodiversity is sort of a proxy for the health of our natural systems. And what we find across the world is that our natural systems are breaking down. So think about deforestation in the Amazon or catastrophic wildfire in California. So there's a focused global effort on how do we protect the nature that we have and then restore the nature that's been degraded. That's really important because as every kid learns about in elementary school, we have a carbon cycle. Trees and plants absorb carbon dioxide and they release oxygen. So this is a really important part of restabilizing our climate and taking climate action is stabilizing our natural systems. So unlike on climate change, California is actually leading in this respect, too. Governor Newsom was one of the first leaders in the world to set a target to conserve to protect 30% of our lands and coastal waters in California by 2030. It's part of an international agreement called 30 by 30.
That the U.S. is not a part of, correct?
Well, the U.S. is not a formal part of, right. And so this is, again, where California comes in. And I'm really proud to say, thanks to our legislators, our governor, we have a roadmap on 30 by 30 that is more advanced than almost anywhere else in the world. So down in Colombia, we were sharing our roadmap as sort of a proof point. It's not to say everything's perfect, far from it, in our efforts in California, but Californians can be really proud that we continue to grow our economy while taking this world-leading environmental action.
Well, Secretary Crowfoot, thanks for joining us. You've had a busy travel time over the last few weeks.
I'm ready for some sleep.
Yeah, some jet lag too, huh? Wade Crowfoot is California's Natural Resources Agency Secretary, and he has been reflecting and sharing his recent trips to the COP16 Biodiversity Summit in Colombia and the COP29 Climate Change Summit, which is still taking place in Azerbaijan and wraps up this week. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Our audio engineer is Tyler Webb. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.